What is this, Sondheim? This is music of Stephen Sondheim. And that's, of course, the introduction music for our good friend Judy Russick, J. Wynn Russick, our theater critic here on Midday. Good to see you.
Good to be here, Tom.
I forgot for a moment who wrote that music. It's beautiful. Toe-tapping stuff. So it's Thursdays, and Judy always shows up on Thursdays to review theater stuff going on, all things thespian in the Baltimore, Washington area. I'm really excited to see. I'm excited to see you every week. But today I'm really excited because we're going to talk about this show, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's at the Kennedy Center in D.C. It's there a week from Sunday. So I saw the National Theatre of Great Britain do a broadcast of this. It was played at the Landmark Theatre a couple of years ago. It was a Sunday morning. Place was packed. And it was it wasn't a movie. It was a film of a live performance in London. It was fantastic. I mean, the production from this London group was fantastic. And, of course, I love the book. So I just thought both of them were just, you know, hit out of the park home runs. How does this work? Is this an adaptation? This is an adaptation of the novel. How does it work in your view on the stage?
Well, I saw that film as well, and I actually read the book twice. I read it when it came out, and I loved it, and then I read it again right before seeing it at the Kennedy Center. The book, as you may remember, was a bestseller by Mark Haddon. It's about a 15-year-old British boy named Christopher. He has high-functioning autism, what used to be called Asperger's. He's a math whiz, and he's being raised by his father. And the story begins when he discovers that a neighbor's dog has been killed, and he is determined to find out who killed the dog. The layout of the book includes drawings and diagrams and graphs and maps and charts and puzzles and math problems. And you look at this and you think, how can they possibly put this on stage? Well, the playwright Simon Stevens has done a very clever, subtle shift in emphasis that helps a great deal. He increases the role of Christopher's teacher, who's played here by Maria Elena Ramirez, and she plays this character very sympathetically. And for a class assignment, she assigns Christopher to write a story, and she encourages him to write about his detective work trying to find the dog's killer, and that becomes a little book. And sometimes the teacher reads from the book, and she becomes kind of a narrator for the piece, and sometimes Christopher picks up that narration. So I brought you a clip. This is from the Broadway production. You're going to hear the teacher speaking for Christopher from his book, and then you'll hear Christopher speaking for himself.
To be a good astronaut, you have to be intelligent, and I'm intelligent. You also have to understand how machines work, and I'm good at understanding how machines work.
You also have to be someone who would like being on their own in a tiny spacecraft, thousands and thousands of miles from the surface of the Earth, and not panic or get claustrophobia or homesick or insane.
That's an excerpt from the Broadway production of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. And I understand, Judy, that the stage version at the Kennedy Center actually looks a little different from the one that was the broadcast in the movies that you and I saw. How did it differ?
Well, the one that we saw was filmed at National Theatre's Cottesloe Theatre, their smallest theatre, and it's in the round. So the audience is all the way around the stage.
Because you could see the audience while you're watching.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And they could see each other in the live performance. When the show moved to the West End in London, where it's still running, and to Broadway, where it ran for 2 years, it just closed last month, and now again on tour, it's all proscenium staging. So that's traditional, sort of looking at a picture frame staging. And to me, it feels a little less effective because it's all happening in front of you. In the round, I thought it felt a little more like you were embracing Christopher's world. At the Kennedy Center, also, it's in the Opera House. It's in their biggest venue.
That's a big room.
Yes, yes. I'm kind of surprised it's there. So much of the audience is actually very far away from the action. But that said, I have to say, the way that this thing is staged is just brilliant. From the very beginning, you feel that you are in Christopher's head. The production opens with this cacophony of loud noises and music and strobe lights. You probably remember when Christopher feels overwhelmed. He can't stand to be touched. He can't stand loud noises. So when that happens, lights and wild projections of numbers flash on the walls and on the floor. This is a collaborative effort between a director named Marianne Elliott and her design team, the set, the lighting, the video, the sound designers, and we experience that same sensory onslaught that Christopher experiences. It's pretty amazing.
So I remember in the movie version, or the filmed version of the stage play in London, there were things projected on the walls and on the floor of the stage. I mean, if you're sitting back in the opera house and like in the orchestra, you know, can you see the stuff on the floor? You probably can't.
You can't see the floor very well. I mean, Christopher has he has a train set that he puts together, and you really sort of can't see that very much. But you're seeing some of those projections that were on the floor on the walls, so you do.
So you get the feeling, because it's very effective. It was just a terrifically powerful thing. Now, and the performances that we saw in this film version, the National Theater production, they were amazing. They won a whole bunch of Olivier Awards. That's kind of like the equivalent to the Tonys in Britain. The touring cast is an American cast. I know the kid who did it on Broadway, who played Christopher, was a big hit. How do they compare to this American cast of the touring production? How do they compare to the London bunch?
They compare very favorably. I only take issue with one performance. Jean Gillette, the actor who plays Christopher's father. His father is a very troubled character in his own right, but in the book especially, his devotion to Christopher is never in doubt. In this production, he's almost one-dimensional. He's angry, he's always at the end of his tether, and I think that the actor shortchanges the character of the father by not showing some of the compassion he feels for his son. On the other hand, in addition to Maria Elena Ramirez, who plays the teacher, Felicity Jones Latta, an actress who did several shows at Center Stage in the past, is very strong as Christopher's mother. The mother is one reason that Christopher keeps finding himself surrounded by adults who are forever messing up his life and saying, I'm sorry. And of course, I have to say something about the actor who's playing Christopher. This is a young man named Adam Langdon. He's a little more than a year out of Juilliard, and he gives a very powerful performance. Christopher is a young man who wants his world to be orderly and to be truthful and to make sense.
Don't we all?
Yeah, that's not the truth. But he really cannot cope when order and sense and truth break down. And he takes everything literally. He doesn't like metaphors or figures of speech or anything that can't be seen or proved or explained scientifically.
Where is heaven?
I'm sorry, Christopher.
In our universe, whereabouts is it exactly?
It's not in our universe. It's another kind of place altogether.
There isn't anything outside our universe, Reverend Peters. There isn't another kind of place altogether. Except there might be if you went through a black hole. But a black hole is what is called a singularity, which means it's impossible to find out what is on the other side.
A fascinating character, and it, you know, it brings up all these theological, you know, existential issues. That's an excerpt from the Broadway production of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. I remember in the film that we saw, that movement played a huge role. This is, as you mentioned, on a proscenium stage instead of a circle, you know, in the round kind of thing. How's it work?
They do some very interesting things with it. As I mentioned, the director is Marion Elliott, and she co-directed another favorite show of mine, the National Theater's production of War Horse. And like that show, this has very physical staging. I mean, it's difficult to separate the direction, the staging, from the choreography. In fact, the choreography was nominated for Tony and Olivier Awards, which is very unusual for a show that's not a musical. When Christopher imagines being an astronaut in space, actors carry him aloft, floating. I think they did that in the round as well. He comes from a town, Christopher, that is west of London, and he finds himself in the hubbub of London. And he is, of course, overwhelmed. And other actors in this production hold him so that he's walking on the walls, kind of singing in the rain style. This is something they couldn't do proscenium, but it conveys his topsy-turvy world. So, yes, it's different, but it's still remarkable.
Oh, fantastic. Sounds terrific. So this engagement of Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, it's the beginning of their national tour. It's interesting. It seems to me that not many things that tour nationally are not musicals. I mean, is that kind of unusual? Is this a niche thing? Is this a specialized offering, or will this go wide, as they say in the movie business?
Well, it is true that not many straight plays, as they're called, tour. This won the Tony Award, it won the Olivier, so it had that imprimatur propelling it along. In terms of being specialized, I think Kennedy Center has done it a disservice by putting it in the immense opera house. But this show is so theatrical. Just seeing the way the novel was adapted for the stage is an absolute sense of wonder. And one of the really cool things, I mentioned that in the show, Christopher is writing a book for a class assignment and the teacher does some narration. She also suggests that he make a play out of the book. And this show turns out to be that play, which is really, really lovely. And Haddon's novel.
That's terrific.
It's charming. The novel, of course, was a bestseller in terms of the popularity of the show. And I hope the play meets the success on the road that it had on Broadway and continues to have on the West End. It's about very broad themes that really touch all of us. It's about parents and children. It's about accepting people on their own terms and believing in yourself, not letting anything keep you from achieving your goal. And seeing those themes expressed with this much originality and creativity is just wonderful. It leaves you with a sense of awe.
Good for them. Good for them. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. It's at the Kennedy Center in Washington until a week from Sunday, the 23rd of October. And we've got a link to the details at WIPR.org/midday. Theater critic J. Wynn Russick joins us every Thursday here on Midday. What are we going to talk about next week, Judy? I think it's Das Barbecue.
Oh, yes, at the Spotlighters. Absolutely. Wagner's Ring Cycle by Five Texans. You're going to love it.
Well, I'll take your word for it. All right, speaking of barbecue, tomorrow it's What You Got Cooking here on Midday with our resident foodies Sasha Wollhandler of Sasha's 527 Restaurant and Catering and John Shields of Gertrude's Restaurant. They're going to join me. We're going to talk about some delicious ways to serve up seasonal veggies and ways to punch up your next tailgate party. That's tomorrow on Midday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your calls and emails and tweets and interest. Thanks also to Eddie's of Roland Park for providing lunch for our guest today. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features unique sandwiches and salads with specials each day, all listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. Here and Now is coming up after the news. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great one.